from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all get more. We are powerful women.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Authenticity Summit. I'm so grateful that you are here and you're giving yourself this gift of time to help grow yourself and move further along your journey of authenticity. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this event. I am so grateful to be able to talk with these amazing women who are the co-authors of the book, The Beauty of Authenticity. They truly inspire me because they have lived a lot of life. They have lived and they've gone through some journeys that are filled with ups and downs, and they have learned a lot along the way. And they're here today to share their story of how they came to living more authentically in their lives. So they're going to be sharing some practices with you, some lessons, some guidance, so that you can also have more ease along your own journey of authenticity. And so today, I'm really happy to be talking with Shannon Sedlicek. She's this amazing woman. When I first talked to her on the phone, her energy just came right through and just kind of grabbed me, and I know it's going to do that with you today, too. And I really like her topic, embracing life pivots. Nothing great happens in a straight line. And I can attest to that, and I bet you can, too. So what I'm going to do is read a brief introduction of Shannon, and then we'll start talking with her. Shannon Sedlicek is a speaker, writer, former litigation attorney and firefighter, and transformational coach. With all of this, she is no stranger to challenges. After initially failing out of the academy, she went on to become an award-winning firefighter at age 39. She overcame harassment, discrimination, and bullying in the workplace to become the first female officer ever in her department. She endured failed IVF to become the mother of an adopted son and became a licensed private pilot after vomiting during the flight test. Using humor, creativity, and bold action, Shannon helped her clients redefine their own challenges as necessary building blocks for success. Her motto is Be You Optimally. And Shannon, I'm so happy to talk with you today. How are you?
I'm fabulous, Sue. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Me too. And, you know, I'm so excited that you're talking to us today because obviously from reading that bio, you have gone through life not in a straight line at all. So I know you're going to be sharing some of that, and I know our audience is really going to love that. Let's start with the first thing. You know, we're talking about authenticity today. And what would you say is the biggest obstacle to living authentically?
Well, you know, I think for me and for many of my clients, it's fear. And I think, you know, there was a certain age when I thought that I would reach a certain level of success and that somehow fear would magically go away. And I think that's somehow magically naive. We never get rid of feelings of fear, no matter, you know, where we are on our self-mastery journey or where we are on our success journey. But I think fear kind of sometimes gets a bad name. I think it can be seen as something that is also excitement. But when we allow fear to prevent us from moving forward and taking action in our life, that's really when fear can be really negative. It can really keep us feeling stuck, right? I always think of when fear comes up for me, I try to address like which flavor of fear I'm feeling. And I think fear comes in three different flavors. The first one for me is fear of the unknown. And, you know, I talk about this a little bit in my story and in the book about, you know, whenever we are doing something for a living that we really know isn't our best and highest calling, that we really probably should be making that life pivot, or as Michelle Obama says, the swerve. And it's scary, right? A lot of fear comes up. It's financial instability, and maybe you've been really successful in this career, and to, you know, to bump out into something new is, you know, it basically keeps you stuck, and it keeps you from moving forward for your dreams. So that's a big one, fear of the kind of unknown. And then the second flavor that I think we can all experience is the fear of the loss of connection. You know, whenever we make change, there's really a fear that others will judge us. and that we'll lose the connection with others, whether it's colleagues, friends, family. And, you know, that's painful. And thinking about that happening to us sometimes, again, keeps us from taking action. And then the third kind of flavor is the fear of failure. And I think of this more as our own fear of our own personal inadequacy. So it's our own self-judgment. It's when we hear those voices in the back of our heads that say, you know, can I even do this? I mean, who am I to think that I can go out and do this? You know, and to be honest, certainly I heard some of those voices when I agreed to this amazing project to write a chapter in your book, right? So those don't go away. Those kind of three flavors of fear can come at us at any time.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. I like that you say flavors, you know, because that's just a good word. It kind of softens that fear for me a little bit. But it's so interesting that you talk about that fear of the unknown, loss and loss of connection and failure, because I think that, you know, so often they say fear of failure, fear of success is another big one that they say people have. And yet really it's because of that loss of connection, I think, that all of it is that, because, you know, we are connected in this world so deeply to the people that we care about. And for me, I would say, you know, if I look at all those, that's the biggest one for me anyway. So I like hearing that there are those, and that these are common things, you know. So anybody listening right now, it's not, and you're probably shaking your head as Shannon's saying, look, these are the three things that where fear comes up. So let's get a little further into this talk about fear, Shannon. What would be the first step for dealing with fear, and why is it so important to us to start there?
Well, I think the first step is simple, but it's definitely not easy. The first step is to slow down. And, you know, I shared a lot of my love of running on the gerbil wheel. And because I was a firefighter, I do everything fast. I like speed. But when we slow down, we allow the second voice in our head to really be heard. So we all really have two voices. And I call them the complainer and the encourager. And the complainer can be really loud and often really kind of is much louder than the encourager. So maybe sometimes we only hear the complainer. And the complainer is that part of us, again, it's never going to go away. It really comes from the oldest part of our brain, the amygdala. It's all about keeping us safe. The complainer is all about activating that fight or flight or freeze mechanism. And it looks at any kind of change as, you know, kind of a violation of that safety, and is constantly trying to keep us safe, which to that part of our brain and to that voice, it means status quo. And when we allow ourselves to slow down, when we allow ourselves to reflect and to be quiet, we can hear that second voice. And that's the voice that says, you got this. It's okay. You can do this. I know this is hard. You know, dust yourself off. Get up and keep going at it. You're doing great. You're doing great. Try it different next time, but keep going. You're doing great. And that voice sometimes is really subtle and quiet, right? Whereas the complainer can sometimes be incredibly loud. Obviously, the encourager is the one that allows us to do the very thing that is scary to us, that meets one of those three flavors of fear. And when we shut out the encourager, we get stuck, and we get the feeling of being stuck.
Hmm. So it's so interesting, because I'm listening to you, and you were, you know, the voices you were speaking from, the encourager, the things you were saying, you know, we so often say those things to other people so easily, you know, but whenever we're hearing them, or we're, you know, saying them to ourselves inside our head and our self-talk, whatever that is, why don't we believe them? Because it's harder for us to believe them, you know, saying them to ourselves than other people, I think. What do you think about that?
You know, I absolutely agree. And to tell you the truth, that's why I have a coach. In fact, I have more than one coach, because it is really hard sometimes to step back and hear that own inner voice. And it's so helpful to have somebody in your life that can remind you and that really has your back in a way that, you know, people at work don't, because, you know, you're, as long as you have somebody that really is looking at your best good all the time and is always saying to you, you got this. Yeah, that might not have gone so great, but it's okay. Dust yourself off. Let's keep experimenting. I think you're close. Let's do it. You know, as long as you have somebody in your court saying you that, it's like you feel fantastic. Just like, yeah. But I think when we listen to the complainer, which again is much louder oftentimes, and the complainer also loves company, that we can be really challenged and really create a lot of those challenges for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have these inner voices that are going on, and sometimes they're our own voices. I think sometimes they might be the voices of other people that keep running around in our head too. I know I have my mother's voice in my head often. I can tell when it's her, and I also have my father's voice in my head, and I can tell when it's him. And they're often, one of them is from fear and one is more from love. But, you know, but everybody's got these inner voices in their head, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. So what do we do when we start to feel overwhelmed by these voices, these inner voices that are our own inner voices in our head?
Yeah, so overwhelm is a big deal. I think a lot of kind of society right now is dealing with overwhelm. And I think we have to recognize that, again, no matter what level of success that you are at, overwhelm is always kind of there and can all often trip us up. And I think if we recognize what that sign is, overwhelm is really a sign that our sympathetic nervous system is on complete overload. And that's the part of our nervous system that governs that fight, flight, and freeze part. Whereas our parasympathetic nervous system is the part that is the rejuvenation system and the calming system and the recovery system. And when we are feeling that anxious, overwhelming feeling, literally, we're full. Like, you just imagine like a vessel or a vase or a bowl, a container, you're spilling over, right? You're so full. And so the solution, again, it's simple but definitely not easy. It's to empty it and to give ourselves the gift of not putting more in and allowing ourselves time, quiet time, reflection time, so meditation, you know, massage, relaxation, going for a walk in the woods, playing with your dog, and then not allowing a lot of input in our life. You know, our technology is amazing and provides us so many awesome ways of doing business in the world now. We can be on the move. We can live anywhere we want. You know, doing this with technology is fantastic, right? And we need to take a break from that. We need to take a break from, you know, the 24-hour news and the onslaught of information and carve out space for ourselves where we can just be. And I know sometimes if somebody had said that to me maybe 10, 15 years ago, I would have thought they were crazy. And it is sometimes one of the most challenging things is to give ourselves that gift of quiet time.
I definitely cherish my quiet time, and that's true. And I've with a project like this, with all of these authors that we have in the anthology book, 23 authors, you know, there's a lot of juggling that takes place. Some people say it's like herding cats to get a bunch of people to be in the same page and do all the same things and get it together. And so I feel that definitely. And for me, exactly what you said is, you know, stepping back, you know, turning off the TV, turning off the emails and all that stuff for, you know, just a little bit of time really helps so much. So anybody who's feeling overwhelmed, I can attest that this absolutely works. And I bet that many of our listeners have done that, and they know it works too. You know, Shannon, we talk about, so often we hear this thing, oh, let's live our best life. Oprah did that thing, Oprah, live your best life tour, right? And she did all this stuff. And we all talk about that. And yet it seems elusive sometimes. How can we live our best life? What do you think it is? What's the biggest lie or the biggest myth that keeps people from truly living their best life?
Well, I think it's the myth that we're supposed to hop on this trail, and it's a straight line. We're supposed to start moving in the direction of success and our best life, and that if we're doing it right, we shouldn't hit a challenge, and we shouldn't have to pivot or swerve or make adjustments. And I think that's just an enormous myth that, you know, that we don't make changes. It, you know, our life is full of pivots, and that's really just a message, a fantastic message, that something new and exciting is coming into your life. And even though, like, I can attest as being a litigation attorney, in order to, you know, move from a completely different realm into being a professional firefighter, I was really at the top of my ladder, or very close to the top of my ladder, and I wanted to just kind of reposition my ladder as I hop to the next building. But that's not how it works, right? We need to climb down the ladder, reposition it someplace new and exciting, and then begin that climb. And that's okay. That's okay. That pivots and restarts, swerves, as Michelle Obama calls them, that's totally okay. And it's an excellent part of life. It means that you're starting a new adventure.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing, right? So as, you know, using the analogy of the firefighter, so you put your ladder against the next building, and, you know, the cool thing, I think, is any building can work, right? So when you want something new to happen in your life, or you want something exciting, or even when you are headed towards a very specific goal, you know, and you think it's going to happen one way, it's possible that the next building is going to bring a great adventure, even though it's unknown, right? And so all these new things that pop up, or people pop into our lives with new ideas about how we should do something, doesn't that add to the excitement of life, too? You know, I know that your title says nothing great happens in a straight line. Well, the great stuff, I think, can often come unexpectedly, and I guess there's an art to being open to it. How do we become more open in our own lives to those challenges that pop up, or those things that pop up that we didn't expect?
You know, I think the way to really stay open is to stay intentional. And you know, if I can share, Sue, a little gift that I have for our listeners, because I think this gift really speaks to it. I want to give our listeners a daily process that I go through, and it's a PDF that kind of walks you through the process. And it's a way to really generate clarity. It's a way to really focus your energy. We didn't really talk about this, but I think exhaustion and feeling physically and emotionally and mentally exhausted is also something that challenges a lot of people right now. This little process really creates connection and love throughout the day, and it also reduces overwhelm and fear. So it's a phenomenal, simple process where you intentionally decide basically the small little steps that you're going to do in the three biggest areas of your life. And I have a link. They can download the PDF. It's really straightforward. And, of course, if they have any questions or want more training, I'd love to chat with them and provide them what I have. Is it okay to give you the link?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Fabulous. Okay, so it's on my website. It's called Shannon Said. So Shannon said, SAID.com, and then /authentic.
All right. Awesome. Shannon said.com/authentic. All right. Perfect. I love that. You know, and, you know, it's so great, because what you're offering is just a three-part little tool. And, you know, those little tools for me, and I say little, they can make such a big difference in our lives. And that one thing that you said about this helps us stay intentional. And I agree with you. That is the thing that will keep us on track, keep us going towards, you know, our goals, our desires, no matter what is going on in our life. So I really do appreciate that. You know, Shannon, one other quick question for our listeners, and, you know, for you, I would say you decided to share your story in this book, The Beauty of Authenticity, and I love your story that you shared. What was it, you know, you had a little fear probably pop up. What was it that helped you to get through that fear and decide to be a part of this book?
Oh, that's such a great question. Thanks for asking that, too. You know, whenever I feel like my small self says, oh, what are you thinking? You know, you can't do that. You're not a writer. That's not part of your deal. I think to myself, you know, each one of us is here for a reason, and each one of us has a gift. And when we succumb to our fear and we don't show up in the world as our biggest, best self, that doesn't just hurt us, but it hurts everyone else that would benefit from your message and your connection and your love. So, you know, when we allow ourselves to kind of spiral into fear, we lose that. And that's what I kept telling me myself and my encourager voice when I would hear that fear come up. It's like, you know, there's someone that's going to read this story and read this amazing book, and it's going to take them to a different place. And that's what this is all about.
So you moved through the fear and you decided to do it, and I for one am so grateful that you did. I know that our readers, our listeners are going to be the readers who love that story. So, you know, Shannon, I'm so grateful to know you. I'm grateful for our time together today. I'm grateful for the information you shared, because fear does touch all of our lives, and I know that this will be impactful for those who listen to it today. And thank you so much for being a part of the whole book process. I really do appreciate you.
Thank you, Sue. It's been fantastic. I've adored the process, and you guys have been amazing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for saying that. And listeners, thank you for being here today, for giving yourself this gift of growth. You know, as you become and you are more authentic and you show up more authentically in your own life, it gives others power to do the same just by seeing your example. So I so appreciate that. Be sure to tune in for more of these interviews. There are 23 interviews in total of the co-authors. And be sure to read that ebook that we sent to you, How to Live Authentically Every Day. It's filled with these beautiful small tips. And I say small, they're a couple hundred words apiece. And they are so impactful, little things that can make a huge difference in your life and being more authentic as you move through your days. And be sure to buy this book, The Beauty of Authenticity, on May 22nd, which is our launch day. And when you buy that book and you come back to our website with your Amazon receipt, you will receive lots of free gifts and amazing gifts from our partners and the authors. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for showing up as you in your life. I wish you all a beautiful day. Bye for now.
Living from our heart.